Hey, it's Kirsten. Do you feel like you're spending way too much money on supplements? When I started out on my health journey, I was also shocked about how expensive high-quality supplements were, especially as I was upping how many I was taking. That's why when I became a practitioner back in 2018, I started offering my clients a way to save up to 25% off many of their supplements through a company called Wellevate, which is spelled Wellevate. Through Wellevate, you can order many of the supplements that you're already taking, like Pure Encapsulations, Gaia Herbs, Enzymedica, and others at discounts of up to 25% off retail. And shipping is free for orders over $49 within the United States. The only way to buy supplements through Wellevate is through a practitioner, and I will earn a small commission at no additional cost to you while you're saving money. So if you want to start saving upwards of 25% off your supplement bill, go to the resources page on my website at carefullyhealing.com/resources and go to the Wellevate section. You don't have to be a client, just set up your account and start saving. I'm Kirsten Ramstrom, former Wall Street analyst turned holistic health practitioner. In 2015, I suffered from chronic allergies, lifelong back pain, and fatigue and brain fog that were so bad that I feared that I had a brain tumor. Then I found the first medical medium book, and I quickly recovered from these symptoms plus many others. Fast forward through all of my trial and error and hard lessons learned, and now I'm using all of that knowledge and experience to help people just like you heal. I created the Quest for Healing podcast to give you clarity on what a health journey really looks like, guidance to get you through challenges you may come up against, and support and inspiration here whenever you need it. So if you're looking to take control of your health so that you can move forward with your life, you're in the right place. Welcome to episode 88. Today we're talking all about pregnancy and fertility issues with my guest, Lauren Hoped. She had trouble getting pregnant when she started following medical medium, and we walk through what she did, how she finally was able to conceive, how she supported her body through pregnancy, and how she prepared for childbirth. We also talk about some of the things that she wishes that she'd done along the way, so you can learn from that as well. So if you're getting ready to start your family or having trouble getting started, this episode is for you. Also, if you're listening to this right around the date that this episode is being released in mid-November of 2022, just a reminder to keep your eyes open for the Vimergy Black Friday sale, which they usually announce around mid-November. I don't have any special insights on the timing for this, but I just wanted to remind you so that hopefully you can save a few bucks ahead of the holiday season. The best way to get the heads up on this is to go to the Vimergy.com website and sign up for their email list, and that's Vimergy.com, V-I-M as in Mary, E-R-G-Y.com. And with that, let's dive right into the episode. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. One of my favorite things in the medical medium community is new little medical medium babies that we know are so much healthier than so many of the other babies that are born. And sometimes it's really a miracle that those babies were able to come along. And so this is one of the reasons why I was so excited to talk about your story today. So I really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, it's an exciting thing to talk about. It felt like a long time in the making. And after experiencing what medical medium could do for me and the end result, my beautiful baby girl, I'm excited to share that experience with people.
Perfect. Well, why don't you take us back to where your health journey started?
Okay. So we were talking before about like the things that happened previously that, you know, we didn't realize were related, but now know that they are. But in July of 2016, I studied abroad in Spain, and I had received a medical treatment in order to travel to Africa. And shortly after receiving that, I ended up with uveitis, which is basically, it's a symptom of autoimmune disease, but at the time, the doctors didn't make that connection. Our eyes have their own immune system. It's separate from our basic immune system. And so the dysfunction of our immune system is what causes inflammation in your eye, and it causes intense pain. And I actually suffered a little bit of sight, like vision loss in one of my eyes because of it. But that was treated with antibiotics. I went back to the United States. I saw my doctor as they recommended. And they basically, after doing a bunch of tests, blood tests, you know, checking my stool, checking my blood pressure. I mean, I went through every slightly invasive and non-invasive test that they had. I wasn't diabetic. I wasn't, you know, any of these things. And at the time, my white blood cells were not elevated. So enough time had passed. I was there for about 3 months. So they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And they said, sometimes it just happens and you don't know why. So I just kind of let it go. And that was the first indication that I had autoimmune disease. In July of 2017, I stopped taking a birth control shot. I had basically decided I was single and everything was coming out in the news about this particular medication. And they were saying if you were on it too long, it could really mess with your fertility. So I stopped it. And then I didn't get my period until the next year. Like it was about 6 months later after stopping. So in July 17 was when I missed the dose. I was supposed to get the dose. And then in late January of 2018 is when I got my first period after coming off of that. And it was awful. And the funny part about that is when I was writing my timeline down for this conversation, I talked to my husband and we were dating. Like we were newly dating when this happened. And I had painful contractions from coming off of this medication. And now that I think about it, after going through labor, I'm like, yeah. So the experience that I had getting my period the first time after coming off of this birth control shot was on par with labor contractions.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He told me that I was shaking in my sleep. Like he could tell when I was having a cramp or having a contraction because my body was physically shaking. And I was like curled in a ball with a heating pad. The reason why I went on this shot was because PMS was so normalized and awful cramps, headaches, nausea, all of that was just a normal part of my life. I thought everybody had it. That's why you take Midol. And so I had taken the shot to avoid that, to be functional, to be able to go to work and not miss school. And also not worry about an unplanned pregnancy. And I thought I was taking care of all of those things, but really what I was doing was like hurting my body.
It is so amazing. And right before we started taping, we did have a conversation about this. There are so many things with our health that have become normalized because they're so common. And we think, right, this is just how we do it. This is what happens. Everybody's got cramps. Everybody's got all this pain. Everybody's got heavy bleeding. And all you have to do is go on birth control and it'll take care of it. And it's just what you do. And it's normal. And yeah, we're both here to tell you that's not normal. It's not how it's supposed to go. But holy cow, I can't believe that that was as painful as childbirth.
Not quite. Like there was no crowning. But
right. There was no baby that needed to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, you go through that pain and you get nothing out of it. So it definitely wasn't worth it.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay. So you came off of that.
Yeah, I came off of that and I wasn't using any type of medication as a birth control. You know, we were playing dangerously, but we had talked about wanting to have kids. And it was kind of like, if it happened, it happened. But we made it until March of 2020. Before I even got pregnant, because it takes that long. Like when you're on that medication for so long and your body kind of like shuts down, you know, having everything come back to life takes time. So in March of 2020, I got pregnant.
Anthony's also talked about how we store medications like that in our livers, which we all sort of know from a lot of the medical medium information that we end up with these reserves of past medications and toxic heavy metals and pesticides and all this stuff. But part of it too with birth control is our body has to be able to let that out in order for our body to realize that it's okay to get pregnant again. We've got to get some of that flushed out and worked through.
Yeah. And it took 2 years. And I was not at the time doing medical media. So that's just fleshing it out with a normal, or what I would say, westernized, Americanized diet, right?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So I got pregnant in March of 2020. We were super excited. And then in April of 2020, I had a miscarriage.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So that was pretty rough. It was a surprise getting pregnant. But by the time we had really started to get excited, I started bleeding. I was calling the doctors to find out if they could come in. But at the time, everything was shut down. So it was something that I basically experienced at home and then later the emergency room.
Oh,
so
no.
Shortly after that, we decided that we were going to try again. You know, after consulting with the doctor, they let you know like the appropriate amount of time that you should wait. And I started with ovulation tests, pregnancy tests. I got a period tracker. But my period was so irregular. And each month, I would get incredibly nauseated. I would throw up, get the migraine, the cramps would start. My husband would be like, she's getting her period, like, you know, the mood swing. And we would know each month that it just wasn't happening. So in December of 2020, I experienced my first Crohn's flare. I had really, really painful diarrhea, cramping. Some of it was really sharp pain. And I knew that there was something wrong because at the time, they thought it might have been the virus, but it wasn't. And it went on for about 2 months until they were finally able to schedule a colonoscopy for me to find out what was going on after, you know, numerous tests, blood tests, stool samples, you know, the whole nine. And I was diagnosed in February of 2021 with Crohn's. It was moderate inflammation in my upper bowel. So there was nothing in the colon. They said it was very manageable and they were prepared to give me a steroid and send me for testing to see if I was a candidate for an oral medication to manage the Crohn's disease. So I went on that steroid. It got everything under control. Finally having like normal bowel movement. I wasn't afraid to leave my house. And then I went back to the doctor and they had talked to me about taking a pill. They said, your blood test came back that you are a candidate for the oral medication. Not everybody is. It has to do with like, I guess, your absorption. And this pill was also used to treat leukemia in cancer patients.
So this was really a no joke medication.
It was a no-joke medication. It was also kind of like an off-brand usage for it. So the drug wasn't developed to treat Crohn's disease. They just found out that it was effective in achieving remission and maintaining remission. They also told me that I would have to go for regular blood tests to make sure that my liver and my kidneys weren't failing as a result of the medication.
Hmm. Guess that starts telling us something that we might see as a red flag these days, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that was the wake up call for me that I needed to go on a medication, that it was like, they needed to make sure the medication wasn't killing me before the Crohn's, you know, flared enough to possibly cause cancer and kill me. So I was scared. I was honestly really scared.
I bet. And so this was February of 2021.
Yeah. And I was kind of searching at that point for something else, anything else.
Were you guys thinking about trying to get pregnant at this point too?
This
was in the mix, right?
Yeah, I was looking for any other option. And the main reason was because if you need to make sure my kidneys and my liver are not failing on this medication, sure as hell, it's not safe for me to get pregnant and carry a baby on this medication. And even if you're going to tell me it's safe, I'm sure it carries some risk. And with all medications, when we look at the past, if they're relatively new, it could be 40, 50 years before they find out what the repercussions of taking these heavy-duty medications while you're pregnant are going to be in terms of birth defects or even cancer. And I didn't want to take that and then try to have a child that I was going to pass that on.
Yeah.
So I was looking for anything. And in May of 2021, I entered into a dialogue with my old high school friend, Fred. He has a couple pages on Facebook that are dedicated to medical media, and he's constantly posting things about health and, you know, fruits and veggies and, you know, healthier ways to live. And, you know, he was this goofy guy in theater arts class that, you know, I just really enjoyed, I guess, listening to. He would play the piano and like sing goofy songs. So like, it was an interesting conversation to say the least. It was like, so this is what you're doing now. And he said, are you ready for radical change? Because I can share something with you that is going to heal your body and change your life. And at that point, I don't think at any other time in my life, I would have been like, okay, yeah. But at that point in my life, I was ready. And he started talking to me about medical medium. And it sounded crazy, but I was willing to try anything before I took that medication, quite frankly. And I said to my husband, I'm going to do this thing. And if it doesn't work, I'll take the meds. But I owe it to myself to try something before I give in to this. So we started with the no foods. I cut all those out. I got my organic celery, got my cold pressed juicer. And I made that mistake of trying to chug 16 ounces of celery juice on the very first day.
I was going to ask. I think so many of us made that mistake. Yeah.
It was so awful.
So you've got Crohn's and you slugged down 16 ounces. That must have sort of caused some extra complications, right?
Oh, it was like I had some cramping. I went to the bathroom. Like I've never gone to the bathroom before. It was just very uncomfortable. Not to mention, you know, when you first start celery juice, the taste is different than it is after you've been doing it for a while. It becomes this like sweet juice, like after your body starts to detox. But in the beginning, it's
a little unpleasant,
like to drink. But, you know, I said to myself, I got my 32 ounces of lemon water and I'm going to power through it. And then I'll have my nice fruit smoothie, my fruit detox smoothie as my breakfast afterwards. But I didn't even like get to the smoothie because I was like, doubled over from the celery.
Oh, man.
If you do the 369 cleanse, do not drink 16 ounces. Start with like two. It's like two shots. Like slug them back and go about your day and slowly work your way up because, yeah.
Yeah.
not what you do.
Yeah. I almost, the first time I drank celery juice, I don't remember how much I had. It was either 4 or 8 ounces and I just slugged it down. And within an hour, I broke out in a cold sweat and I thought I was going to be sick. And I dialed it back after that and was doing it like twice a week. But I will say, even with dialing it back to only a few times a week and not very much, I was able to build up very quickly. Like there are some people who are really sensitive, it takes them longer. But for a lot of people, you can rebuild pretty quickly. But that first dose, oh my God.
I remember taking pictures of my celery juice and sending it to Fred and being like, I'm up to 4 ounces. I'm up to 6 ounces. And he's like such a pro. So he's probably sitting there like, look at that name, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. It was something I was proud of, you know, getting up to that point where I could drink a whole pint glass of celery juice and feel good. And now that I've experienced medical medium, I think back and I'm like, when I got to that point where I drank that 16 ounces and feel good, I had done my body such a favor in terms of cleaning all of that garbage out of my system, because that reaction is your body like jolting and going, wait, what are you doing? And celery juice is going in there and it's like, it's time for spring cleaning.
Right. And when it kills off all those pathogens, all those little dead pathogen bodies, your body's like out. That needs to be out. It needs to be out right now. There's no delay. It needs to be out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you get to the point where you're having solid bowel movements and you're drinking 16 ounces of celery juice a day, you've made it. And that's where I was. I think it was probably like July of 2021, about 2 months into working. It took me about 2 months to get up to that 16 ounces, and that's okay.
That is okay. Cause it's not that long either, right? In the realm of life, 2 months is not that long. And it's like, perfect. So at that point, how did your Crohn's feel? You were still on the one regular medication, right?
I actually had finished the steroid. So you're not on the steroid forever. So I had finished the course of that steroid and I had not started taking this other drug yet. But what I did was I made an appointment with my doctor because I had started the medical media. I had finished the steroid and I said, okay, I'm supposed to check in with her to make these appointments for the blood test. So I'm going to talk to her and consult with my doctor about how to take this medication, whether or not there's another option, especially since, you know, I'm doing better. And I spoke with her about, you know, other medications, what would be an option if I wanted to get pregnant. So interestingly enough, around this time, because it took me a while to get that appointment with the doctor, you know, during the pandemic, you would call and they would schedule like 2 months out. So when I was asking about the appointment, it was June. This is in June of 2020. I didn't get that appointment until August of 2021. But in the meantime, in June, I realized when I got my period, I had no pain. So I was on the 369 cleanse for literally a month, maybe like a month and a couple of days. And I had no PMS. In fact, I got my period and I had no idea that I got it until I went to the bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah. No headache, no cramps, no nausea. No mood swings.
What a radical difference from when your husband always knew when you were going to get it.
He had no idea.
Oh my God. Wow.
It's funny too, because when I was telling him about this podcast, he's like, I'll come on and tell them, because he was like, I'll be a witness. I can bear witness to that. It was such an intense experience. It's like, I knew he loved me because he put up with it every month. And by July, I had had two consecutive regular periods. Like, it wasn't the weird cycle. It was on the dot 28-day cycle. And it stayed that way.
That's amazing. And after 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was the predictor that I was using for the ovulation calendar. It never matched up. It never matched up. So I was using some of these applications that would help you with your cycle to know when you were ovulating. And the dates started to match up finally. So I go to this doctor's appointment and she asks me how I'm feeling. And my answer is great. I have more energy. I have no Crohn's symptoms, no pain, no diarrhea. I have solid bowel movements. They're the right color. I've also noticed that my periods are now regular. I don't have PMS cramps and my hydrogenitis, which is a skin condition that I've just dealt with. It's hereditary. My mom had it, where you get these ingrown hairs that turn into, you know, skin lesions. They're basically boils where it tunnels under the skin. It's very painful. I have scars from them my whole life. That even started to disappear. I wasn't having problems with that anymore. And her answer was like, okay, great. You've been on the medication, right? And I said, well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because I have to schedule these blood tests in order to take this medication. And she said, well, okay, we'll get them scheduled. And I said, well, are there any other options? Is there a medication that is going to be a little bit lighter that could still be effective, but isn't as invasive? I was trying to basically hint that, you know, this is important to me to want to have a baby. And she basically told me, well, sometimes you have to put that stuff on hold. It doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. You know, this is the medication you need to take. And it was a hard conversation where she got very defensive and I knew she wasn't hearing me. And by the end of that conversation, she basically told me that she was going to send me to a specialist in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and maybe he would be able to speak some sense to me, because he had, I guess, more experience, a higher level of education. Maybe I would respect what the GI specialist had to say. So I said, okay, I'll do that.
How'd that go?
She just was like, okay, fine, I'll put the referral recommendation in. And then I asked her if she would be willing to work with me while I tried medical media, meaning that her office would still do my yearly colonoscopies. They would still check my colprotectin levels, which is a protein that would indicate to them whether or not I had inflammation or how intense that inflammation would be. And she basically said that if I wasn't willing to take the medication, then there really was no reason for me to deal with her in that office. So I went to this doctor, and that was in October of 2021. But ironically enough, 2 weeks after I got out of this appointment with this GI, who was telling me I'm going to have a lot of difficulty getting pregnant with Crohn's anyway, I might as well take the medication and forget about that for now, I got pregnant.
It's what happens with medical medium, right?
Yeah.
It's easier.
I was feeling good. My body was feeling healthy, and I got pregnant. So we actually found out I was pregnant in September. I knew it right away. I started to have sore breasts, which was the big symptom for me. I know everybody's a little different with how they find out. Some people throw up. For me, that didn't come until the second trimester. That was when I got real sick. But yeah, I knew I was pregnant. I went to this appointment with the GI specialist in Hershey in October of 2021. And he said, let's check your colprotectin levels. If they're low, I'm willing to work with you and modify your treatment plan as we go, which I loved. He told me that there was a medication that my colprotectin levels were high, that it's safe for pregnancy. It's a lot lighter than what they were speaking about previously. But he did say that research has not been able to do as much in terms of nutrition. So while he can't say that what I'm doing is working, he recognized that if it was working, maybe I should just continue on that path. And that I would see him after the birth of my daughter. We didn't know at the time it was a girl, but he would see me after the birth of my baby. And we would schedule a colonoscopy to see how everything was going and reassess that. Yeah.
Somebody who had some sense, right?
Yeah. And it was really cool that he recognized that nutrition plays a larger part than any of us really know when it comes to health and autoimmune disease. Except that, research is so difficult when it comes to nutrition. It's difficult for many reasons. People aren't 100% truthful with what they ate, even if it's not intentional. Sometimes you eat something and then you don't even think about it. So you don't write it down. And that could be an important part of, what they're trying to find out. So,
but there's also nothing to sell at the end if you spend, $1 billion researching. Anthony just had a podcast that came out on bananas. And I think he said something in the beginning about no one's going to put $250 million in to study all the health benefits of bananas because they don't get anything out of it at the end. And here we are. This is where, and that's why we're here where we are with our medical system. But it's amazing that your doctor at least recognized and acknowledged that and was willing to work with you.
Yeah. And, what we had talked about before about, what a shame it is that in the medical profession, they treat people the way they do. I think the analogy I used was religion, right? That when you have somebody who's skeptical of what somebody is preaching, religion teaches you to embrace that first and see their skepticism as curiosity. And in the medical community, that doesn't happen. So if somebody comes in there and is genuinely concerned, doctors don't like that because as far as they're concerned, that person's going to put up a fight. But if they treated those conversations as curiosity and recognize that people do have a right to advocate for themselves, and maybe doctors don't absolutely know everything, people wouldn't be completely turned away from going to doctors and going to the hospital when you need to, because medical medium doesn't tell you you're not supposed to go to the doctor.
Absolutely. There's definitely a place in this world for our medical system. There's a lot of things it can help with. And I do think there are a lot of people who have just been so turned off that they are ready to put that all behind them. But the problem is there's things that medical system can do that can save our lives that eating a couple of bananas is definitely not going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on the situation.
Depends on the situation. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So you have this great doctor's appointment in October of 2021. You're like a month pregnant.
Yeah.
How does the pregnancy go?
So it turned out my calprotectin levels were low. So I checked in with a nurse and a nutritionist through Penn State Hershey. And I mean, the nutritionist was like, you know what you're doing. So everything sounds great. I really don't have any suggestions for you. The nurse that I spoke to would check in to see if I had symptoms. And if I didn't, then, you know, we would push my appointments out. They wanted to leave that open for me because they didn't want me to have a flare when I was pregnant and be uncomfortable or something go wrong. When it came to my OBGYN appointment, however, it was a little difficult for many reasons. I was pressured about every little thing in this particular office. They wanted to request a lot of tests that I felt were a little unnecessary. One of those tests, it was for gestational diabetes. And not that I don't think that's necessary, but they wanted me to take this test multiple times. And part of that test is drinking a large container of high fructose corn syrup with red dye so that they can test how fast your body metabolizes it. And they were also testing my urine. So, you know, the question I had was, if we see glucose in my urine, that would warrant the test. Why are we just automatically taking the test when I don't have any symptoms of gestational diabetes? You know, and there was a lot of pushback. I felt an immense amount of stress going to every appointment. In fact, most of them, I would get in my car and cry after. And I finally got to this point where I didn't want to go to my prenatal visits. So I started looking for another doctor. It was basically, it was the suggestion at the gastroenterologist to go see this GI specialist. I said, well, I'm just going to do that again with my doctor, my OBGYN. So I went to a different doctor. He was amazing, little old school, but just so kind and intelligent. And his idea of, you know, these prenatal visits was, let's have a conversation. We'll check to make sure everything's okay. And we're not going to order any tests if I don't need to. You know, he explained to me, we check your urine every visit for protein, for hypertension, and for glucose, for gestational diabetes. And until I see something irregular there, I'm not going to put you through all these tests.
Just how it should be.
Yeah. And they were also into all this genetic testing because of my age. I was having a baby. Well, I gave birth at 35, but I got pregnant at 34. That's right on the cusp. You're geriatric at that point. So they wanted me to like agree to all of these tests before I even had the results of, you know, the initial tests. So we don't know if I have any, you know, genetic markers that would lead to problems, but they were already on this, like, you know, this is where we're going to go after this. And he said to me, what are you going to do if you find the answer to these tests? Are you still going to have the baby? Because if that's the answer, then what's the point of having the tests? Maybe you'll be a little bit more prepared, you know? So I liked that approach better because it was stressing me out more going to the doctor. Stress is like the worst thing you can do yourself. One interesting note about doing medical meeting before you get pregnant is your cravings are a little different. So I craved citrus fruits. I was eating tons of pineapple. I was eating tons of oranges, clementines, anything citrus was like what I wanted to eat. And it was crazy to me that my main pregnancy cravings were so healthy.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah.
Like I was going through about 2 bags of oranges a week. And I would just sit at work, like in front of my computer, eating oranges. It's like, what are you eating? Clementine? Like anything I can get my hands on that had that like sour sweet. And there were a lot of things about my delivery that medical medium helped me with as well. My labor was incredibly short. It was quick. It was intense. But it was short.
How short is short?
Like 7 hours.
Great. And this was your first baby, right?
Yeah, it was my first baby. My water broke with my first painful contraction at 3 o'clock in the morning. And she was born by 10:45.
Great.
So It was about, what, 7 hours and 45 minutes. It was a short labor. It happened quickly. And I was drinking a lot of red raspberry leaf tea, which they told me that that was going to happen, like that it would shorten your labor time. And that was what I was hoping for. And even now postpartum, I haven't had a lot of the issues. I continued with the red raspberry leaf tea. I got a really a nice organic bag with a little bag. So, you know, I continue drinking that tea and I feel like the healing process has been, you know, pretty smooth in terms of, you know, healing down there. And I haven't really had any hair loss yet. As of yet, I'm only a little over two months postpartum, but a lot of people told me their hair started to thin around now and mine's like still really thick and full and shiny. So,
which I can attest to sitting here looking at you on Zoom. Yes.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So overall, how did your 7.5 hours of labor go? Like, how did that experience feel? And is there anything you would have done differently there?
As far as experiencing the labor, I mean, I really don't think I would do anything differently. But after labor, you know, you go into the recovery room and I realized really quickly that they didn't have a lot of clean options in terms of food. And I'm kind of stuck there. So I had my bag packed with everything but snacks and food that I really should have brought with me. I just kept thinking to myself, oh, they'll have that. Not to mention the fact that Gabrielle came 10 days early. So if I had packed a bag with fresh fruit, it would have been something that I would have had to constantly be switching out. And she came at 3 a.m. And like I said, my labor progressed so quickly. So if I could give anybody any advice, it would be send your husband to the supermarket after birth to get, you know, the fresh fruits and vegetables that you need and pack some, you know, sustainable snacks that aren't going to rot, I guess, in the bag, you know, because you want to have that ready in case you gotta run, grab and run.
Right. And, you know, things like dates, dried figs, dried mango, like there's lots of fruits that you can get that are shelf stable that would survive in your go bag.
Even nuts, you know, and if you're not leaving the bag in your car, right, if it's in the house, it's temperate. So you can even put like fruits and vegetables that are a little bit more sturdy in there and maybe like, I don't know, switch them out. Like I would say oranges and apples in the winter, when you refrigerate them, they'll last a little bit longer. So if you have cooler temperatures, having a bag of, you know, organic apples or something like that in your car wouldn't be a bad.
Great. I was in the hospital overnight. It was probably 3+ years ago now. And the food options there were just atrocious too. And thankfully my mom was with me. And so she would go down to the cafeteria and get stuff from the cafeteria. I had a long chat with the people who provided the food, but most of the time it was just hard to find things that I was going to eat. But thankfully I had some support there.
I did have support. I just didn't utilize. And that's what I would have done differently. Like I know if I told my husband, this is what I want, he would have gone. But I was, you know, I was overwhelmed. I was tired. I was trying to be easy. It wasn't something that I thought about or planned. Like, even if it means making a list and saying, after I give birth, somebody please take this list and get this stuff for me, that would have been better than, you know, what I did. And I just went back to eating normally. And, you know, this is another important aspect of medical medium. It is a way of life. And when you stop reaping the benefits of that way of life. And I do think 100% that going back to eating those no foods and going back to eating normal, what we would consider normally, even giving into some of my later third trimester cravings and making that a habit, like a daily habit, kind of led to another like kind of health crisis for me. And 4 weeks after delivery, I ended up back in the hospital with gallstones. I had a gallbladder attack. So I ended up having to have it removed. So 4 weeks after giving birth, I was in the hospital and was having surgery that affected the way I was able to care for my infant afterwards. And that was another thing that I kind of regret. It was like, I've made it across the finish line, and then you just kind of become lazy or a little complacent, because the goal was my beautiful baby girl, and here she was. And meal planning, you know, freezer foods, I had done that, but I didn't anticipate how overwhelming sometimes it is to try to breastfeed an infant who's sleeping an hour or two at a time, and also feed yourself.
Yeah.
And those are things that I did not anticipate. So if I were to do it all again, and who knows, I don't know if I would just yet. The amnesia hasn't kicked in.
It's only been 2 months.
Yeah. But if I did it again, those are areas where I would have made sure that I had that support in place going in, and that would have kept me from backsliding.
Okay, good. You know, I think it's so important to talk about the backsliding piece too, because this is not the easiest lifestyle to live, right? It doesn't fit in with our culture well. There are just challenges with it on a lot of different fronts, right? And sometimes life is just easier when you come off of it and give into that. But, you know, I've been at this for 6.5 years. I've certainly had times when I do that. I feel the difference. Now, granted, mine didn't involve a childbirth in the middle and all these other things, but I feel the difference. It's what keeps me on it, right? It's the thing that's kept me on it for 6.5 years. I never went on any quote unquote diet and stayed on it for 6.5 years, for goodness sakes, right? Like nothing ever stuck that long. But this, it's like, okay, I know that if I stray, the second I can, I just come right back. And then I feel better when I do it. But it's interesting as you go along and you can feel the differences and you've become more in touch with your body, that it's like, you know, I used to eat pizza, pick a number, 2 or 3 times a week. And I always felt quote unquote fine when I was eating like that. Now, if I eat a piece of pizza, oh, I feel it. I feel gross afterwards. I feel awful. And it's like, oh, I can't wait to rinse that out. Like it wasn't worth it. I felt gross. But I think it's part of the process, because we learn the tolerances of our body. And unfortunately, yours coincided with a lot of different things going on with your body.
Yeah. I think too, there's certain foods that are harder to let go of than others. Ice cream is a big one for me. And, you know, freezing fruit and making my own sorbet is one way that I do that. Like I deal with that because I like the cold and I like the sweet and I like the creamy. So I try to find ways to replicate that, whether or not it's coconut milk and frozen lemons or, you know, what have you. But knowing that this is a way of life and you can once in a while backslide a little bit, and giving yourself grace, I think is really important when it comes to staying with it and sticking with it. I think it does also make a big difference when your health improvements are that drastic, because it's not just I need to lose 10 pounds or I want to fit into these jeans. My symptoms are affecting the way I function in my life and my ability to care for the people I love. And when you get to that point, it's a game changer. It's a completely different game. We're not even playing the same sport.
Exactly. It's life, right? Like you're missing out on life because of what your health has got you needing to do. And it sucks. Yeah. It absolutely sucks. And so how is your daughter doing? How did everything go with her after the birth? How is her health? How has that experience been?
Overall, she's doing great. One of the things that, like I said, I would do differently was not backsliding. And I did have dairy. Like I said, ice cream is hard for me. I also really like milk, cow's milk, but I have found alternatives now that help me deal with that. I'm back off, completely off dairy right now. No dairy whatsoever, because my daughter's having trouble digesting the milk protein, the cow's milk protein in my breast milk. And that's one of the most heartbreaking things to experience as a new parent, is seeing your baby struggle with painful gas and constipation because of something that you ate. And the horrible thing about dairy is that most allergens take 6 to 8 hours to leave your breast milk. Dairy sticks there for weeks. And then it's in the baby system for weeks. So when you go off dairy, it's not an hourly process. It's a 3-week process until you're able to help your child digest, and this affects sleep. It affects demeanor. It affects tummy time. So that's the other thing. If you are going to backslide, start with cleaning out the dairy ASAP, because breastfeeding your infants, cow's milk allergy is really common. They say that it goes away at the age of 2. I actually believe wholeheartedly it's not what goes away at the age of 2. It's what develops at the age of 2, a stronger constitution. But that doesn't mean our bodies are made to digest.
Right. And it's still in there feeding any little pathogen that's flying around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So 3 weeks to get out of your breast milk. And then it's got to work through her little body, too.
Mm-hmm. And after it leaves her body, then whatever inflammation that's causing her digestive tract, then, you know, it needs to heal. So it's a process. And we have noticed improvement because I've cut it out, which means the levels are lower, but we do know they're still there.
Okay.
We still have those fussy moments, but those fussy moments in terms of hours, they're like maybe a quarter of what they were previous. So,
okay. Progress.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting observation that you've made with that. And I'm hoping that the trial and error that you have gone through with this helps somebody else so that they don't have to experiment with that to see how it's going to work. They can sort of learn from what you've been through so that hopefully they don't have to repeat it.
Yeah, with this formula shortage that's going on, breastfeeding isn't just a gift that you can give your child. It's difficult. You know, a lot of moms aren't able to produce enough to feed their baby. Sometimes you do have to turn to a formula because that your baby needs that volume. But breastfeeding, whatever you can give them, is so important. It gives them, you know, natural immunity. It gives them nutrients. It's digested. This is what kills me. So doctors are always telling you breast milk is digested faster and easier than formula. And then they say, but there's no harm in feeding your baby formula, right? It's not going to kill your child to feed them formula. There really is no shame in it. But at the same time, look at how fast and easy your baby digested the breast milk. Their body was made to digest breast milk. So give them what you can. There's always situations where it can't happen. Like I know of women that had C-sections and their milk never came in, or, you know, babies born premature, or shortly after giving birth, if you get sick and you aren't able to breastfeed, or the virus itself inhibits your ability to produce and you lose your milk supply. These things happen, and that's what formula is there for. But having the breast milk as the base and the formula is the backup plan, I think, is key.
And Anthony has a breast milk formula that's avocado based that you can make at home.
Yes.
And with the formula shortage, you know what? I'll put that in the show notes, because if anybody doesn't happen to know about that formula, it's very straightforward. You can make it in a blender and the base of it is avocado. I'll include that too, because for a lot of people, that may be a great alternative because they can still get avocados even if they can't get baby formula.
Yeah. And it's avocado season right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else we wanted to touch on?
Oh, we talked a little bit about like personal products. When it comes to fertility, there's certain, you know, areas in your body that, you know, you would benefit from using natural products. One of them being your armpits and your pubic region and deodorant. Not using a natural deodorant and choosing carefully which natural deodorant you use is really important. I noticed personally that my hydrogenitis, which I had mentioned before, having those painful ingrown hairs, the tunneling under the skin, the scarring that I'll have for the rest of my life. I mean, I have scars from the time I went through puberty, I guess 16 to now being 35 years old. When I switched to natural deodorant combined with medical medium, that pain went away. Like most of my pregnancy with my hormones raging, I didn't have any of those bumps. And when I backslid, they started to appear again. So it was a combination of using the natural deodorant and the medical medium itself that was helping prevent that outbreak from happening.
Yeah. And which is the natural deodorant that you like?
I like the Crystal.
I like that one too.
Yeah. That's my go-to. I switched to Lumi at one point, which isn't great, but when you're going through the pregnancy hormones, and I work with kids who are very brutally honest about how you smell, I needed something, a natural deodorant that packed a little bit more punch. Because, you know, the pregnancy hormones, you have hot flashes and your BO sometimes for some people is just a little bit stronger than it would be ordinarily. So yeah, those are my top two. In terms of both performance and being clean. I mean, Crystal's on the EWG, I think it's like a zero if you get just the rock. So
great. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking about this. It's been awesome to meet you. And it's been so cool to hear about your experience with this. And again, I just love that we have more little medical medium babies in this world, because you know those babies come in with a much cleaner liver than the other babies. And you know, this is how we change the world, right? It gets passed down generation to generation with better health and fewer metals and fewer of all the bad stuff. And so I'm just so happy that you found this information and it helped you so much, and it's going to help your daughter too.
Yeah, it was really great meeting you too. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my experience. I mean, even aside from, you know, having her, like being able to carry a baby to term, and now I have this beautiful baby girl. Medical medium healed so much before that even if I didn't get to that point, I would still want to share, you know, my experience. Because when you heal your body, it's not just one part of your body. You don't just say, okay, I'm going to heal my fertility. I want to have a baby. I'll heal my digestive tract. Everything starts to heal. And the way you feel is indescribable. So, you know, who wouldn't want to tell everybody about that?
I feel like there's tons of people in our community like that too. It's like, we all just want to shout it from the heavens, because it's like, oh my God, I was able to heal all this. I never thought this was going to happen. It's awesome.
Now, until you're in real pain, you know, and then that pain is alleviated. It's night and day.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So if people wanted to find you on social media, where should they look?
So I'm very present in Medical Medium Success Stories, which is one of Fred's groups. That's how I met you. I love going in that group, because if I have a rough day, if I need some inspiration, that's a great place to look at people that have done medical medium and they've healed and they're willing to share, you know, what they did to get there as well. I'm also on Facebook as Lauren Davidson Health. It's Davidson like the motorcycle -HAUPT.
Great. And I'll link to that in the show notes. And I'll link to that group as well. I love that group too. Because it's literally just focused on the success stories. It's not a place for advice on a lot of things. It's literally just all about the success stories. And of course, since I like featuring success stories on the podcast, of course, I love that group.
Yeah. Fred's very serious about how he moderates that. It's got to be a positive place, because when you are having a hard time with this lifestyle, it's not easy to adjust to. And you need that inspiration. You go to that page and that's all you see. It's post after post of people whose lives are changed. And when you read those stories, it's hard not to stick with it. Like you say to yourself, okay, I can do this. You know, I can buckle down. Oh, look, there's somebody just like me. And look where they are now. That's my goal, to get there. So
fantastic. Well, thank you again for coming on. This has been so much fun.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you found this as educational and inspiring as I did. I will include links in the show notes to the blog post where Medical Medium spells out his recipe for homemade breast milk substitute, as well as the links to the deodorants that we talked about, as well as the Medical Medium Banana podcast. Don't forget that you have to follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify in order to see the show notes. So don't forget to do that, and you'll get the added bonus of getting a great reminder whenever a new episode of Quest for Healing comes out. You can also find the show notes and the episodes on my website at carefullyhealing.com/podcast. And as a reminder, this is episode number 88. If you found this episode or any of the past episodes helpful, would you mind sharing the podcast with just one friend? It really helps me as I try to reach more and more people in our community, and I appreciate the help very much. Thank you. And if you're looking for some guidance of how to put together your own medical medium protocol or fine-tune the one you have, or if you just have questions about how to address specific symptoms that you're struggling with, please feel free to reach out to me and schedule a health coaching session. We'll go through your health history, dig into what symptoms and conditions you're dealing with, and explore strategies to help you on your path healing more quickly. Just check out my website at carefullyhealing.com to schedule an appointment. Thank you for joining me today on the Quest for Healing podcast. These discussions are not intended to provide medical advice, but rather to give you examples of methods and modalities that you may find interesting, informative, or helpful. Please work with your doctor as you undertake your own health journey. Hey, it's Kirsten. Before I started out on my health journey, I didn't know how poisonous many of the cleaners I used in my home were. Then when I started trying to clean the toxins out of my body, I started to question if the cleaners I was using were just adding back more. And how does that make sense when we're using toxic chemicals to get things clean? So imagine how excited I was when I found non-toxic, fragrance-free, essential oil-free Branch Basics cleaners. Now I use them for many things around my house, including scrubbing my kitchen and bathroom, cleaning my juicer, and as the laundry detergent for cleaning my clothes. Plus, it's also the soap that I use to wash my fruit because it's also sodium lauryl sulfate-free. So check out branchbasics.com. Their starter kits make it so easy to get started, and you can use my code CAREFULLYHEALING, which is all one word, for 15% off your purchase. And because I always want to be upfront with you, this is an affiliate link, so I will earn a small commission if you buy using my code. But I only recommend this product because I love it and use it myself. So if you're ready to start cleaning your home with a healthier cleaner, go to branchbasics.com.